On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
Is that time of the year. Let's talk a little bit of Leafs trade news. Welcome everyone to Unforced Errors number 33. My name's Matt Robinson. And I've probably been guilty of a little bit of a misnomer here. There's no Leafs trade news. We just live in a market, or follow a market, that treats every report like it's news, every rumor. I wanted to talk a little bit about the Toronto Maple Leafs. It's not like there's any shortage of time of us doing that on this show. But I received an interesting tweet this weekend, and I had a crazy weekend, and I swear to God, the weather here, unbelievable. Apocalyptic at times. I thought on Sunday morning when I jumped in an Uber, had to be somewhere fairly early, I was not convinced I was going to survive. Guy was treating it like it was just a bare road in July sometime out for a rip. He was just flying, and we're fishtailing all over the place, and I eventually had to lean forward. Hey, can you just take it easy. We're going to get there. I'd like it if that was in one piece. Anyway, received a tweet on Saturday morning that I didn't have time to get to until now. And I was going to simply respond to our friend, but I thought this was interesting enough. And it's something that I've sort of been meaning to talk about anyway. And so it's been a reason to get me up and motivated to record this show on this topic. Before I get to that, if you haven't had a chance, last week on Audio Whiplash, number 56, we took a look back at the year 2016 using Twitter as our lens. If there was only one way to look at the year, and it was through Twitter, here's what you would have seen kind of thing. And we used that through via a report that Twitter Canada has been slowly pushing out over the last couple of weeks, which has been kind of interesting. It's most mentioned Canadian celebrities or most used hashtags in Canada. These sorts of things, right? So that was a fun show to do. Jill McSween joined us for that. That's Audio Whiplash number 56. Later in the week, Tall Can Sports 101 with Nate Sager of The Score and Sportsnet. And we took a quick look at the World Junior team as it was coming together in training camp. They have since finalized their roster. No doubt we will talk more about that before the tournament begins. But if you want to take a listen to what our junior hockey guru kind of expects out of this group, how it might come together, you can check that out. Tall Can Sports 101, both of them at tallcanaudio.com or pretty much anywhere you subscribe to podcasts. Just search for Tall Can Audio and you'll find what you're looking for. To this one, someone I converse with, I don't know, reasonably often on Twitter, Charlie Plant sent me a tweet on Saturday morning, as I mentioned. If you want to follow Charlie, I love his Twitter handle, at Big Canadian Tuna. Exactly how it sounds, no crazy underscores or anything like that. Big Canadian Tuna. Not sure if he was a fan of The Office or where this handle comes from. I always enjoyed Andy Bernard on that show walking around calling Jim Big Tuna or just Tuna. For some reason, it always made me laugh. Anyway, asked essentially, well, why don't I just read the tweet? Saturday morning thought, trade any of JVR, Bozak, Kadri in January to get real shot at Nolan Patrick. Imagine he and Matthews as number one and two centers. It's an interesting thought, and especially the JVR part, because that's been kicked around here for a while. The guy's on a pretty team-friendly deal, and it seems like he might be the easiest piece to move, at least in terms of having interest in him that would net you something substantial in return. So I'm going to save him for last of the three, just because of that reason. Let me start with the guy that I really don't think is going anywhere out of the three that Charlie's mentioned here. Nazem Kadri, just this past April, signed a six-year deal. It's worth about $4.5 a year. On Talkan Sports around that time, I remember saying I wasn't a fan of that signing. And I don't really know now how I feel about it. He's had a pretty good start to the season. He doesn't have explosive offensive numbers. I don't value him as highly as many of the fancy stat people seem to. They love to lump him in with what Marner and Matthews are doing, and I just don't see it. The only way you can compare Nazem Kadri and Mitch Marner are based on their London Knights numbers. And so far, in terms of their NHL careers, Mitch Marner's off to a much hotter start. Remember, Kadri bounced back and forth, up and down between the minors. Didn't always get off to a great start. He was suspended by the team at one point. He kind of had this weird beginning. You can blame some of that on coaching early on. People didn't love the way Carlisle handled Nazem Kadri. I really didn't either. And so maybe that had something to do with his slow development. But the Leafs seemed to like him. If you recall, this deal was signed at the same time that they signed Morgan Rielly. And I was a much bigger fan of that deal. I don't think Nazem Kadri will ever be a number one center. Now, maybe they don't need him to be, but it's worth remembering, at that time, they did not have Austin Matthews locked up. So it was a hard deal to judge at the time. As a number two center? Yeah, okay, maybe. And a lot of people so far have been loving his game defensively this season, and it's been better, for sure. I'm not trying to take anything away from him. Is he a guy that will be content as your number three center? That's hard to say. So as I said, that deal's worth $4.5 million for another six seasons. I don't think he's going anywhere. I just think that's too long with kind of a checkered past. Maybe next year. You know, if he continues to have a good year and he's a good soldier, there's no crazy shit going on around him. Maybe next year you could convince someone else at that cap hit that it's worth to taking a risk on. I just don't think they want to. I think they like him. So I don't think he's going anywhere. Tyler Bozak, to me, is a guy, and everyone hated the deal when he signed his long-term contract, which was for 5 years, at $4.2 million. He has this season and one more season left on it, and they have tried to trade him a bunch of times. His name has come up over and over and over and over, especially over the last 2 years when they were getting ready to unload Kessel. After that happened, you know, his best friend, and you know, could they possibly survive apart? No one's interested, at least not at that dollar amount. No one wants to pay, I don't know if I've put it, it's like I said, $4.25 million for this year and next year. He also has a fucking modified no trade, which really, it's not a full no trade. I believe it's 10. He has to submit a team of 10, a list of 10 teams. Jesus Christ, I can't talk today. I'm fighting off some kind of bug. he submits a list of 10 teams that he can't be traded to. So, I mean, you still got two-thirds of the league to deal with, but how does Tyler Bozak get one of these? And as you start to look around the Leafs, there's still too many of these. It's a problem around the league that there should be some kind of rule. Like in the NBA, similar to their kind of franchise player tag that they throw on certain guys, and I know that's a financial thing and you're allowed to do certain things there, you should only be able to have one player on an NHL roster with a no-move clause or a no-trade clause. This has just gotten ridiculous. When it is down to players like Tyler Bozak having them, and you trade it for cap room, you know, he goes, okay, I wanted 4.5, I'll come for 4.2, but I get a no-trade. Well, it's Tyler fucking Bozak. No, dude. Anyway, he's got one. So it does slightly limit your options. Like I said, you would still have two-thirds of the league to deal with, but some of the, you got to figure, some of the teams, right, that would have room for him will be the same teams that are on his list. Like, maybe he doesn't want to go to Carolina. Well, they would have the cap room, but he probably doesn't want to go there. You know, maybe the Panthers. Some of your teams like that. I was going to say the Blue Jackets, but they're running hot. So maybe he does want to go. I don't know. I just think that they've shopped him enough that at this point, I don't think he's going anywhere. And if he is, it's not bringing you much back. Now, to Charlie's point, I don't think he's looking for much back. This is about getting another crack at the number one overall pick and getting Nolan Patrick. So maybe he's not looking for a huge return. He's just looking to unload him, which I understand. I just don't know if that's going to happen. I do think next year, the last year on his deal, he's a deadline guy because he is useful. He kind of gets ripped here in town a little bit, which is kind of unfair. It's not his fault that he was brought in and named the number one center for a couple of years. That's the fault of every GM that didn't go and find a better number one. A lot of people will tell you Tyler Bozak would be a great number three center. I think Tyler Bozak is capable of being a decent enough number two center, but he's not a number one center. So next year at the deadline, when there's maybe less than $1 million left on his contract, and you're looking for a guy who can win faceoffs, you know, he's a good soldier, he's a good player, maybe you can get a draft pick for him at that point, third round, something like that. But I don't think you're going to get anyone to take Tyler Bozak at $4.2 million for the next year and a half. Taking a look here at his stats, he has never once had more than 50 points. Came close one year. I'm looking at 49 points. And that's playing with Phil Kessel, where you get some bonus points. So he's not an offensive guy. He's not a great defensive guy. What is he? Well, he's an okay, like I said, he's an okay center who does his job. Like he wins, he's real good on the draw. He can distribute the puck a little bit, and he'll give you everything he's got, and he's a good soldier, but he's not a game breaker. So I think, depending on what you want to do, most people are looking to unload some of these things, these guys, and get young pieces, but I don't think Bozak does that. Our friend Big Canadian Tuna isn't necessarily looking for a huge return. He's looking to maybe finish off the year. Maybe tanking it is a little strong, but make sure you get a shot at that high draft pick again and then start to rebuild. So regardless, though, I don't think anyone's taking that contract, at least not yet. Finally, JVR, because that's where the real meat of this is. And the reports are swirling right now that the Leafs are listening. Well, I think the Leafs are always listening, but every now and then these things blow up because it is Toronto. And I don't know if there's anything to it or not, but I don't think they're going to use Van Riemsdyk to get worse, meaning to try and get that draft pick. I think they have JVR earmarked as a guy who maybe can help them land a defenseman. I don't know what else you would have to do. Here's the JVR, remarkably consistent. If you look at his points, okay, over the last 4 or 5 seasons, really since the lockout in 2012-2013, remarkably consistent, right around 30 goals and 60 points. At times, pretty physical. He's a big body. Doesn't mind from time to time going to the net. But he'll get you right around the 30-goal mark. Last year he was injured. He was right about on pace for that. And this year, after 30 games, he's just about on pace for that again. So, consistency, pretty good. And he's a big body, which you like in the playoffs. He can skate a little bit. He, too, has one more year left on his deal after this one at $4.2-ish million, which is a remarkably friendly deal to whatever team gets him. That's a 30-goal guy with a big body, some experience, doesn't ruffle any feathers in the locker room, as opposed to Bozak, who doesn't put up those kind of numbers and is at the same kind of cap number. So I think JVR is absolutely the guy who's likely to be on the move. There'll be teams willing to take him on for another year after this one because of his cap-friendly contract. But I believe, like I said, they're going to try and trade him for a contract, for a defenseman. So not necessarily to try and get worse. Not necessarily to bottom out this season. If you want to look at what he might be able to bring you, you don't have to look back very far. What did Taylor Hall get you? And before anyone loses their fucking mind, I'm not saying James Van Riemsdyk is Taylor Hall. I'm saying Taylor Hall set the mark. Physical, scoring, left winger. Landed you right-handed defenseman, Adam Larson, from the New Jersey Devils, sent to the Oilers. Doesn't put up a lot of points, but he's pretty steady. I didn't think that was a very good deal. I thought Pete Chiarelli should have done better. Maybe he couldn't have. Maybe that's what the market said. Defensemen are hard to come by. True number one defensemen are impossible to come by. Unless you're dealing with Montreal, who just hands them away. That's a different story. So JVR, I think we would all agree, is a tier below Taylor Hall. Which means, in theory, unless you're going to start packaging a lot to go with them, and I don't think Kadri or Bozak fit in that package, because now you're getting up around $8, $9 million in cap you're trying to send to someone else. The defenseman you're going to get in return is a level below. So if you were unhappy with Adam Larson as the return for Taylor Hall, which I was, and I kind of like to laugh at the Oilers, I think it's going to be really hard to bring back a substantial defenseman in return for James Van Riemsdyk. So then what do you start looking for? Maybe it's draft picks. The Leafs like to hoard those, and it's turned out pretty well. You know, what else can you get? Are you looking for another version of JVR who's a couple years younger? Well, why would the team who has that player give it up just to get an older version of that? Like, it becomes really difficult. What do you want in return for that guy? Steady Freddy, 30 goals, 30 assists. He's a little older than your core, so I get why you might be looking to unload him. Team-friendly contract. In theory, that should be an easy move to make, and I do think in the end he's the guy that goes. But what do you get for him? Because unless you're happy with something less than Adam Larson, you're not going to feel like you won that trade. I know I've sort of veered away from Charlie's question here, but it's a factor because I think that's what they're looking to do with James Van Riemsdyk. Leafs continue to confound, and this will be something to watch for. I do think this one happens before the deadline this year, despite there being. He also has a limited no trade. Again, it's only 10 teams, but fuck. Leafs learned nothing from the trouble they got into the last time they started handing these out all over the place. You end up with the Muskoka 5, not willing to go anywhere. Nolan Patrick, I guess, is the target for most teams. You always draft the best player available, but the Leafs need a defenseman. I don't necessarily think they're going to be able to, even without Bozak and JVR, if they did manage to unload them, be bad enough to finish last. But maybe they could be bad enough to finish in the bottom five. Going to be tough to stay under Colorado and Arizona and some of these teams, just fucking terrible. But Nolan Patrick's injured right now. Not at the World Junior Hockey Championship. But he does seem to be the odds-on favorite. But I just wonder if he starts to fit into what you already have as a problem, which is ton of firepower up front and not much to back it up. Again, I'm not suggesting that if the Leafs somehow did get the number one pick, they don't take him. I think you do take the best player available. But man, they need help on the blue line. And the problem there is even a really good defensive prospect is a couple years away. Like, if you draft him in June, you can't count on him playing big minutes for you for probably 3 years at the minimum. He might make the team before that, but it takes time, right? So, anyway, it's an interesting question because I do believe there'll be some wheeling and dealing, and I do believe JVR will be at the center of that. But whether it's for draft picks or whether it's for a defenseman remains to be seen, as they need, well, they need a defenseman and they love draft picks. So, you want to ask us anything yourself, you can do that at Tall Can Audio or at Tall Can Sports, depending on the topic of your question. That was a good one. It's a fun one because I love talking trades, and it's a shame that the salary cap has basically killed that element of the National Hockey League, because it used to be a lot of fun. But there you have it. Kind of the three names that we hear most often. I mean, we hear other names that people want traded, like Polak and Hunwick, but that's not happening. These are the three names that most people seem to agree would be the most likely for various reasons, either desire from other teams to have them or the Leafs' desire to unload them. Kadri, Bozak, JVR, three very different situations, but three guys that are going to be worth watching for the next little while in terms of what their value could be. Kadri's playing great. If they do want to get rid of them, they can't be asking for more than that. Whereas JVR has been kind of guilty of being one of the veterans who's kind of holding these rookies back a little bit. I talked about that on an earlier show. You know young teams are going to struggle. Your vets can't be the one costing you the game, and that's kind of been the case for the Leafs here a little bit. That's been covered, probably be covered again. Going to wrap this one up. We're hoping to get a couple more shows out to you before Christmas, maybe even through the holidays. So stick around for that. If we don't talk to you again before then, hope you all have an awesome whatever you're celebrating. For me, it's Christmas, so Merry Christmas to everybody. And we will see you on Unforced Errors. My name's Matt Robinson. Take care.
Well, this one's empty. For more, visit tallcanaudio.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook at tallcanaudio.